She wanted to be there. And Pastor Keith. And but, you know, when we are gathering together and the Spirit is teaching us. So here comes the message, okay? Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. And thanks for your love and your walk of faith. It's not sentimental. How many of you love me? Okay, two or three hands. It's increasing daily. Okay, so there's an uptick in the love category. Okay. But listen, you love me, but you're not sentimental. I've noticed that. You're not sentimental. We love each other, but we're not sentimental. What does that mean? Well, we'll see it in a minute. Turn to Acts chapter 1 in verse 9, 10, and 11. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Who was taken up?
Jesus
was taken up. He spoke about them receiving power. As he spoke, he finished talking and he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven?" Tonight I want to speak about, where did Jesus go? Where did he go? This message is very short. Where did he go? He went to heaven. Okay, that's the end of the message. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this message. We traveled very far to hear this. Amen. Where did he go? What is this life about? It's really about him. But we don't see him. He is gone. He went to heaven. And what is he doing there? What is Christ doing in heaven? And how, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And how does that relate to us? Does it mean anything to you? That Christ is ascended into heaven and he's at the right hand of the Father? Does it mean anything to you? Really, that's a good question. Now, what does it mean to us? What does it mean? Not like my feelings, but reality. You know, our presidential election thing, whatever is happening with that, I don't know. I've been blocked out of the news for a couple of days, so I'm not there, but I'm just saying something. That matters so much to people. But the important thing that people need to learn and grow in is that Christ overcame death and ascended into heaven, and he's there, and it means a lot to us. It means a lot to us. Who is he? What is he doing? What is he doing tonight? What is he saying? What is he doing? Who is he? Makes a huge difference in our lives. We'll see that in a few minutes. So go to verse 11 in the part B. It says, "Which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall he come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Did it mean anything to them when they returned to Jerusalem? Did it mean anything to them that Christ ascended? They saw him go, but then he disappeared. And that's what's happened to us too. Christ has gone into heaven and he's disappeared. And now I got to live my life here. You know, I get up in the morning on Monday, I start my car, if it starts. I eat lunch, maybe if I eat lunch, or I have some money, and that's an amazing thing. And I live my life, but does it mean anything that Christ has ascended into heaven and he's there on our behalf? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? Isn't it amazing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's powerful. And I know many of you are relatively mature believers, and you know exactly what I'm saying, and you're filling in your own mind, Bible verses, what it does mean to me. Seek those things that are above. Set your affections on things above, not on the earth. Colossians 3:1. And many other verses. The verses that we want to look at are in the book of Hebrews. So I'll ask you to turn there to the book of Hebrews. And we'll have like 4 or 5 verses that we'll look at. And so the first one I want you to look at is chapter 3. And the book of Hebrews is such a good book because Hebrews chapter 1, we see Christ is God. Hebrews chapter 2, Christ is man. This is a great union, these two chapters, the hypostatic union of Christ. He is God and he is man. 100% God, 100% man. A mystery. Pastor Jack said that a man who is a steward is found faithful, and we are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. That means what we are talking about tonight is something not naturally understood, but are revealed to us. That I know Christ is risen. I know he is ascended. Yeah, but have you seen him? No, I haven't seen him. But I have seen him. It's a mystery. And it's revealed to us. But the writer of Hebrews is afraid that the Jewish Christians, those that became Christians in the first century, he's afraid that while they're living in Jerusalem, they're going to collapse under the pressure. They're going to live in unbelief. They're going to turn back to the law of Moses. They're going to leave grace and the blood of Christ for animal blood. They're going to go back to temple worship in the Jewish temple. And the writer is afraid that their evil heart is going to depart from the living God. And so we are afraid also that there would be a falling away from with the believer under the stresses and pressures of life. That they would get more worried about COVID or a pandemic than they are concerned about losing the very reality of the person of Christ in their personal life. It says in Hebrews chapter 3, three or four things about hearts. And it says here in verse 7, wherefore saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. There it is. That's the problem. Hardening the heart. Hardening of the categories, hardening of the arteries, hardening of the categories, hardening of the hearts of men and women. But there's good news in this. If you will hear his voice. We were talking as pastors about the tendency in the church in America to move away from doctrine. And why would I move away from doctrine? Because I'm looking for something sensual, maybe something reasonable, something popular, something that is fashionable. But we are deeper. We are looking for Christ. But he isn't here. But he is. Because he said he would send another. He would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he would guide us in truth. And these would be mysteries. There's a mystery in the church. There's the understanding that God is here. And that he overcame death. And he overcame disease. And he overcame fear. And he overcame guilt. And he overcame ourselves, because he was raised from the dead and ascended. Another one here in the same categories, verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. They hardened their heart. They do always err in their heart. There's another thing that I've noticed in my own life, how I can err in my heart. Misread something. Maybe judge somebody. Maybe become cold-hearted. Maybe have an attitude. Maybe be depressed and err in my heart. Yes, this can happen to all of us. It says harden and then err. And then the third one, verse 12. Take heed, brethren. Take heed. What do you mean? Pay attention. Don't lose it. If make the effort, listen, if you can listen and you can hear, Christ is on the throne and he's saying something. Christ is on the throne and he's ministering to us. Christ is on the throne and he's for you. Christ is on the throne and he loves you. Take heed, brethren, isn't it? Verse 12. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. I don't believe anymore. Why don't you believe anymore? Because my brother died. My brother died. I don't believe anymore. Why don't you believe anymore? Because I lost my job. I don't believe anymore. Why don't you believe anymore? Because of the church that I went to. I don't believe anymore. What happened to the person? You see, Jesus has ascended, but I haven't heard from him. I haven't seen him. He's gone. I got to live in the real world. I'm in this life, and I'm getting bitter. I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm frustrated. Who's going to be president? I'm upset. Who's going to be president? You know, that's what's going on. And here is a good word for us. And it is in verse 12, it says, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The word departing means standing aloof, like standing off. You know, I always think of the Noah's Ark, like I could get close to Noah's Ark, run my hand down the beam of the Ark, and I can be there and I can stand aloof from Noah's Ark. And then it starts to rain. I wish I was inside, but I've been standing aloof. And I kind of feel that God has called us to be baptized into the body of Christ, not to stand aloof from the body. Yes. But he called us to be in the body and also to know that the living Christ is on a throne, and that affects my life. It affects me. It affects me. That's what we want to say tonight. It means something. It means something. What does it mean? Well, let's go to that now. Turn to chapter 4, verse 14.
Hebrews 3.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Okay, so verse 13. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What does that mean? He's a high priest passed into heaven, and he feels our infirmities. He feels our infirmities. He has pity on us like a father does pity a child. He pities us. He cares. He feels our infirmities. He knows what we're feeling. But our hearts are not hardened by life. They are softened. Job 23 says, "It's God that makes my heart soft." He is the comforter. He is present with us. Like tonight, this room reminds me of many rooms that I've been in Europe. I've been in a hotel like room like this in many countries in Europe, like we have hotel meetings and so on, and it reminds me a lot of that. And through the years, that God, Jesus Christ, has done something in those meetings. I had one time a woman who had a breast cancer, and she had a lump, and she was listening, and then she disappeared. She went out, she went into the bathroom to examine herself because she felt heat go through her body, and she couldn't find it. And she went to the hospital the next few days, and she got the report that it was over, it was gone. That's amazing. What is Christ doing on his throne today? And what does it mean to us? But it says here that he's passed into the heavens, and he feels our infirmities in verse 15. Then go to chapter 6 and verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. Meaning that Christ is gone into the Holy of Holies in heaven. And this is a hope that we have that is sure and steadfast. And it is because the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What is he doing as our priest? Well, he has given us an anchor to our soul. Because we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Pastor Chuck mentioned that. We haven't followed like ideas of our culture or ideas from the university or a professor teaching us something or even our moms and dads and what they understood and what they knew. And that's on a certain level, and some of it very moral and useful. But that was never enough in my life. I needed an anchor for my soul that was sure and steadfast. And that he has entered into heaven on our behalf in Hebrews chapter 9. And that he's living to make intercession for us in Hebrews 7:25. And that he can feel our infirmities and understand our weaknesses and also our unbelief. And even if we do not believe, he abides faithful because he cannot deny himself. In 1 Timothy 2:13, that his promises are exceedingly great and very precious. 2 Peter 1:4, this is very good. Very good. That is why some of us, when we met the ministry 40, 50 years ago up in Maine, and maybe most of us were not from Maine, but we end up in Maine in this church where it becomes clear in our spirit, in our hearts, and in our minds that Christ has been raised, that he's seated on the throne, and that throne has an effect on my life personally. In which way? Look at Hebrews 7, please. Verse 25. He has an unchangeable priesthood in verse 24. Wherein he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's able to save us even if we are in the gutter. He saves us even if we're very evil and wicked people, and we are. But even more so, in Luke 7:37, he that has been forgiven much loves much. Isn't it amazing to think that the greatest sinner in the world, wherever they are tonight, they are loved by God. God wants to save them. It's not his will that any would perish. He is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. Isn't it amazing to think that the blood of Christ has covered our sin? In 1 John 2:2, that we pass from death unto life. Isn't it amazing? Yes. To think that this is reality. But wait a minute, we're living in flesh and blood. We don't see Jesus anywhere. Wait a minute, we got real problems. Don't, what are you talking about? Oh no, no, that's the point. He is in heaven and he has done whatsoever he is pleased. Psalm 115 verse 3. He is not like an idol that has a mouth and cannot talk, hands and cannot move, a feet and it cannot walk. He's not an idol that has ears and cannot hear, or eyes and cannot see. He is God. He has eyes that see, ears that hear, or a mouth that talks. He has hands that move and feet that move. He is God, the only wise God. And he is for you. He is for you and not against you. He is seated there for you. He loves you. He is for you, not against you. Well, this is a new way of thinking. Look at the book of Hebrews. This is what it's saying. Turn with me to another one. Chapter 9, please. Verse 24. This is so rich. Where is Christ tonight and what is he doing? Verse 24. Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. That means the temple in Jerusalem that was destroyed by the Romans. He did not enter into that temple. By the way, Jesus was of what tribe? Judah. Could they serve in that temple? No, only the Levites. That Christ was in a tribe of Judah that would not allow him to serve in that temple. Why? Because he was of another kind of priesthood, Melchizedek. Wow. Where is that temple? In the heavens. That's where he's serving tonight, with all authority in our behalf. Are you comforted? Yes. Are you spoken to? Are you edified in the inner man? Yes. Are you living in a hope that is sure and secure, an anchor to your soul? You guys are people of the sea down here in Florida. Have you ever seen a ship anchored off the shoreline? Have you seen a ship in a storm? Have you seen a ship ripped out of the sea by a hurricane? Have you seen a ship, you know, going through a storm, anchored out at sea? Have you seen that? We know the value of an anchor. Well, we are in troublous times, but we have an anchor for our soul. We are living in a world where, you know, death will knock on your door one day. But you have a high priest that overcame death and saves you to the uttermost and makes intercession for you. And you have authority with God. And if God has blessed you, you are blessed. If God is with you, then God is with you. If God is with you, God is with you. You know, who is going to be present? I don't know. I sleep good at night. I don't know how that's going to go. If God is with you, God is with you. Wow, this is, why are you like that? Because he is gone. And he's seated, but he's here. He's the head of the body. We are the body. He's the head. He has sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts. And it says he's entered. Look at verse 24 again. It says, he has entered, but into heaven itself. What? He has entered into heaven itself. Could you get a hold of that? Where has he gone? Into heaven itself. Well, what is he doing there? It says, now to appear in the presence of God for us. us. For us.
Praise God.
For me. Now, let's do something with the face, okay? The face is really a unique thing in your being. Your face is precious. Your face is powerful. I love faces. Greatest thing in the world. People and their faces. They're awesome, precious. The face, you know. Pastor Mati tells a story about his mother catching him getting cookies out of the cookie jar. She said, "Did you take the cookies?" He said, "No." He's a little boy at that time. "No, I didn't." "Yes, you took cookies. Didn't you take the cookies out of the cookie jar?" "No, I didn't." And she said, "I want you to take your finger and do this." Like she did it to herself. "I'm going to talk to you. I want you to take your finger and you do this." So he's a little boy. He puts his finger in and she says, "Did you take cookies?" "Yes. Yes, I did." You know, Christ has come. He's with the Father for eternity, the Father and the Son, face to face. And Christ leaves heaven and he comes here and he comes to you. And he looks at you in the face and he tells the truth to you. And he loves you and he forgives you and he heals you. And he has face-to-face contact. Psalm 27, verse 4. God said to the psalmist, no, verse 7. "Seek my face." And the psalmist said, "Thy face, O Lord, I will seek." Nobody has seen God and lived. But Christ has seen God and lived. And Christ came to us to show us the Father. And we have seen Christ and have seen Christ in John 14, verse 9. When we see Christ, we see the Father. And you know what Christ has done? He has gone to the Father to present us to the Father. And I like to think that he brings us face to face with God. That he looks at us in the face, we look at him in the face, and he reconciles us to God. And we have a relationship in the Trinity that the Father shows us the Son shows us the Father. That's Matthew 11 and verse 27. And the Holy Spirit is in our life, so this would be real. When this is real, you feel it. You experience holiness. You find truth in your heart. You are built up by it, and it changes your life. You start to believe that God is for me and not against me. You start to worship God and have a personal life with God. And you find, like, "I'm hungry. I'm hungry." What are you hungry for? "I'm hungry for God. I found God. I want God. I found God. I found peace." How did you do that? God sent his Son. And then he brought his Son through it and brought him to the right hand, and he's there as a minister on our behalf. That's the meaning here. I think that's the last one. Let's read verse 25. "Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." That's another thing about seeing the face of God. You know what it is? I know you, and I know you not as a sinner. I know you as a saint. That's an amazing difference. I know you, but there are some Christians that they think that God knows you as a sinner. But Paul said it this way: "When I sin, it's no longer I. It's sin that dwells in me. For when God looks at me, he doesn't see me as, yes, I am a sinner, of course, but he doesn't see me that way. He sees me as a new identity, a new creation. Old things have passed away. I've already passed from death unto life. He sees me in the finished work. The blood cannot see my sin. It covers my sin. The Father does not accuse me. There is no condemnation. There's a new relationship now. It's with God who says, I do not behold iniquity in Jacob, nor seen perverseness in Israel, in Numbers 23:19. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the end. God bless you.
Pastor Jeff Runty, would you want to sing us a song?
Yes.
Woohoo! I brought my own rig. See if it works, right?
Yeah.
Probably gotta have a guitar too, right? This is stuff we use
like
on the
air guitar.
Yeah,
air guitar. I accompany you with that.
Yeah,
with
that.
Praise God.
Did you speak to your neighbor about that message? What did you get out of that message? What did you get out of that
message? My neighbor.
How are you, Christy?
That's good.
I'm 14. I'm coming up to that.
I'm going to go to the hospital.